Now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
You know, I think your brain produces a chemical that blocks out my voice.
What?
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura County. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is how things will be. Each of my guests is discussing the evolution of things in our work and our personal lives. My next guest is a social media political consultant, community organizer, policy debater, techie, event planner, coffee addict, problem solver, actor, and overall liberal. We're going to be discussing social media to brand yourself, not just your business. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Kyle Hillman practices what he preaches. His online identity is tightly honed and refined. No matter where you go on the internet, he describes himself as a social media political consultant, community organizer, policy debater, techie, event planner, coffee addict, problem solver, and actor. We're going to have him on the show today. He's presented numerous conferences regarding social media in the political and business environment, and he's currently working on his first book, which focuses on political campaigns and the use of social media. Kyle, welcome to the show. How are you today?
Great. Thanks for having me on.
Kyle, are you there?
Yes.
Oh, there you are. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks
Good.
For having me on.
Technical difficulties. We couldn't hear you there at first, but we're glad to have you. So let's just jump right into it, because your arena is
Great.
Politics. And social media has definitely proved its power in politics. President Barack Obama, who is a fellow Chicagoan, used social media to connect to the younger voters and get elected as president. And it's a classic example of Barack Obama using the social media to brand himself, not the Democratic Party. So why is it important to brand oneself and not just one's business or one's cause?
Yeah, I mean, I would also argue that he probably branded the Democratic Party by branding himself. But it's really important that businesses brand the CEO, not just your company. You know, you spend hours and hours of time working on relationship building, whether it's your sales force or through your marketing materials. But if we don't have that connection to the individual, if we don't have that connection to the company, we just aren't likely to buy from them as well.
All right.
Go ahead.
No. Go on, because this is something that I'm trying to get my arms around, Kyle, and understand a little bit better. So go ahead and differentiate it for us. I mean, particularly when you think about a brand, say Starbucks or an Apple, okay? Those are brands that are iconic. And is it important to have a relationship with Howard Schultz, who's the CEO of Starbucks, or Steven Jobs, the CEO now on a sabbatical with Apple?
I mean, Jobs is a bad example only because I think I relate Jobs to an NFL player that's a really amazing player, but nobody likes. And so everybody wants to stick around him, but the minute the product's no good or the athlete's no good, I think he'll be dumped. But, Starbucks is a much better example. And I would say this is that we look at some of these corporations whether it's the way the media portrays them or the way other businesses portray them as these large conglomerates. They're not reachable. They're not touchable. And yet social media has the power to bring them close, as if they were your friend, as if they were your coworker. And it personalizes CEOs. It personalizes the business in turn, and it makes you more likely to purchase from that business.
All right, but don't you run the risk of, particularly with the big brands, and I'm going to stick with Starbucks, if a friend recommends Starbucks to you and you like Starbucks because of that glow, that aura of your friend actually inviting you to go to Starbucks, and then you start to read some of what Howard Schultz writes and you decide that you don't like Howard Schultz, doesn't that also tarnish the brand?
Well, absolutely. And that's one of the positives and the negatives of social media is that you have to understand that the CEOs are representatives of those businesses. And if you're going to go out into social media, you run the risk of hurting your brand as well. A perfect example was Whole Foods. I'm not sure if you're familiar, but the CEO sponsored some anti-healthcare funding and initiative, and it struck back to the people that shopped at Whole Foods. And so it hurt Whole Foods because he was out there, because people didn't like the person. So you run that risk, but the positives of creating a relationship far outweigh those negatives.
All right, all right. I get it. We're talking to Kyle Hillman, everybody. We're talking about social media. And let's come back to your strength, if we can, for just a minute, Kyle, and that is
sure.
Politics. Something that has obviously befuddled me, and it's befuddled a lot of voters and also the Republican Party. And why is it that the Democrats have been more successfully embracing social media than the Republicans have? And do you think that social media will improve the chances that younger voters are going to turn out for all elections?
Yes, good question. You know, I think it's true in 2008. I think the Democratic Party was embraced social media so much more than the Republican Party. For reasons, I would put out there that it takes an investment. You have to go out there and build those relationships. It's also you're targeting a group of people that traditionally are kind of fickle. They don't show up to vote all the time.
Mm.
I think also too the Republican Party had a nominee that. Let's just say probably wasn't tech savvy. So it kind of steamrolled into a situation where Obama was able to take advantage of social media. But I don't know that that belief stands true anymore. The Republican Party has made huge inroads into the social media. There's more Republicans that are on Twitter than Democrats. Some of the greatest uses of social media this last cycle was actually from the Republican side of the spectrum. So they're catching up. I think that they understand the necessity of it, and I think that they saw the results. I think the 2008 election really showed that if you engage the younger audience, you can actually get them to show up to vote. As to your question of will this make younger people vote more often? Yes and no. If you engage the younger voter, they are more likely to participate, they're more likely to volunteer, they're more likely to donate, they're more likely to show up and vote. But you must continue that engagement. If you stop that engagement, they will stop participating. And I think that was probably one of the biggest failures of the organizers of the Barack Obama campaign, is that once the election was over, the engagement, the innovation, that stopped. And they went back to D.C., and they started to govern the way that they know to govern, rather than the involvement model, the social media model, which got them there.
Interesting point, Kyle, and I like that. We're talking to Kyle Hillman, everybody. We're talking about social media. Right now we're on the topic of social media in politics. And I want to talk and kind of give a teaser for our next hour as well. In our second hour, we're going to have a branding expert who's going to come in and talk to us about branding businesses, branding products. But well, back to what you said about more Republicans are now on Twitter than Democrats, that the Republicans have embraced social media better in this last election cycle than the Democrats have. That may be true, but there's a lingering perception, including amongst myself, that the Democrats have the lead there. So it's the brand perception of Democrats being more technically aware, greater than the actual reality where there are more GOP on Twitter and other social media. How do you reconcile those two?
Well, it also depends on who you're looking at. To embrace social media, you kind of have to change the paradigms of how campaigns are run. And I would say that the Democratic Party tends to be a little bit more open to changing that paradigm than some of the Republican individuals who've been there for a really long time. But what you see, it kind of mirrors the Tea Party movement in the sense that as new people have been invigorated into this debate, they are embracing social media. If you go into social media, if you go into Facebook or Twitter, the largest new growth is actually, from a political standpoint, is actually from the Tea Party, is actually from younger Republicans. And so it's going to take a little while, and it also requires Republican leaders to embrace this new medium, which is always a hard thing to do, regardless of your party.
Very well said.
People are used to the way that they run a campaign, and so when you bring in a new way, it takes a little time to shift.
I think that that's a keen observation. We're talking to Kyle Hillman, everybody. We're talking about social media and politics. One last question, and we'll get off this particular subject, Kyle, and that is this. Don't we run the risk of getting myopic in our political discussions if we rely on social media for a lot of our political input? And here's what I mean. If you're on a social network and you're getting all of your information from that social network, that social network's going to be very one-sided, not going to present any sort of alternative views or different points of view. won't we become more segregated, more myopic, and certainly more isolated if we rely on social media for political discourse?
My short answer is no. I would argue quite the opposite. In general, those that are motivated, those that are going to be the loudest, they're still going to be motivated. They're still going to be loud. They're still going to be active. They're still going to be calling their politician. They're still going to be going to rallies. They'll make their voice heard. What I think social media allows you to do is to touch the passive members. I mean, for every Greenpeace liberal and every Tea Party Republican, there's a huge middle in there, and a lot of them are passive. It doesn't mean that they don't care about politics. It doesn't mean that they don't care about their country, but they might not be motivated to the extent of to go to a rally or to pick up the phone and call their politician. Where I can reach them through social media, their politicians can reach them through social media, it actually opens the discussion. It allows you to reach. Now, to your point, I don't think politicians should use social media as the only communication or the only check into their constituents. For as large as Twitter is, it's a really small percentage of the American population. So you have to take that into consideration. But I do think it allows you to create relationships with people who wouldn't necessarily reach out to those individuals.
All right. Now, that's a point I hadn't considered, Kyle. So thank you for bringing up that side of the argument. We're talking to Kyle Hillman, everybody. Now, Kyle, let's get away from politics and let's talk a little bit more about social media and social media in your world. How do you use social media in your world on a day-to-day basis? And what role does social media optimization play in your world?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I do a lot of political consulting. So I use social media all the time, whether it's to discuss topics in politics, whether it's to discuss what's going on at the state capitol, whether it's just to reach out to other politicians who want to embrace social media but don't quite understand how to use it. And that actually translates into how other people in business can use it. It's a way to create communication. And I say this all the time, is that businesses will spend an enormous amount of money going to conferences, joining associations, and the whole purpose is to create relationships. We have that tool in social media, and they tend to steer back from it. So I use it all the time. I think Twitter, the openness of Twitter, allows you to create those relationships in a very cost-effective and very easy way. But you have to be willing to put in the time. You have to be willing to put in the investment. As far as social media optimization, to be honest with you, that word kind of gives me hives.
Why so?
And I'll say this because it's usually a word that's created by someone trying to sell you their book. There's no way to optimize relationships. I mean, you can't speed up how you build a relationship. You can't speed up how you build trust. And it takes time. It takes investment in that time. It takes investment in communicating with people. And I think some people are too quick in social media to want to see some ROI, to see a return, to see a sale. There's a great book out there called Unmarketing by Scott Stratton.
Scott has been a guest on our show.
Really?
Yes, he has. He was on last week.
Amazing. It's a great book. You're lucky. It's great. It'll be a great conversation. He talks about how on social media there might be a room of 1,000 people and they're all talking about your product. And you're not there. You're not there. You're not listening. You're not communicating. And if you do, you tend to just be like walking around the room handing out flyers, right? And so the equivalent to it is the conversation's happening, and you can use social media to be part of that conversation. You can use social media to help steer that conversation. And in the long term, that investment will pay off.
All right. Well, let's get on some specifics, if we can, Kyle, in just the short time we have remaining. How many followers do you have on Twitter, and how often do you engage with them? Just give us some idea of how you work with some of your political folks that you're trying to engage in the social media process.
Mm-hmm. I have about 900 followers at this point.
Wow.
That's actually small compared to a lot of people out there. I was just like everybody else who joined Twitter. The first couple of weeks I looked at it, I'm like, how does this work? and you see 4 followers. But then once you start engaging, you start that number will click up. And it's really not so much about how many followers you have, but what kind of concerned about how many followers you have. Be concerned about what kind of conversations that you're having.
And I think that that's good advice, Kyle. I want to ask you a follow-on question. You've got 900 followers. There's a school of thought out there that says that the average human being and their brain is hardwired where we can really only handle about 125 friends, family, relatives in our inner circle. So when you get to 900, aren't you way, way outside of your comfort zone, way out of the human brain's ability to communicate and connect with that many people?
On some levels. One of the beauties of... for me, at least, not for the politician, is that most politicians only tweet when it's right around election time. So some of those followers aren't really active in my timeline. But,
I see.
Regardless, I use some tools. I use TweetDeck. I also use Hootsuite. I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they're great tools to help organize that 900 by what kind of group they are, by what kind of communication I'm going to have, whether they're a politician, whether they're a lobbyist, whether they're just somebody who likes social media. And so it allows me to kind of organize them into a manner which I can communicate with them.
I see.
But, in general, people use Twitter for so many different things, whether it's, to share resources. They don't tend to communicate. They're just there sharing stuff. There are people that want to debate issues. There's people that want to share social media tips and tricks. And you start finding out who the communicators are. And while I have 900 followers, you really only communicate with about 100 people.
All right. We're talking to Kyle Hillman, everybody. We're talking about social media. And Kyle, what about retweets? How often, of all your communications, you're out there, you're very active on Twitter. What percentage of your tweets are actually retweets of other stuff that you have found interesting from other authors?
Yeah, I like to retweet. I like to retweet anything that I find interesting. And so... And hopefully those that are following me will find it interesting as well. I also create my own content, obviously, but,
sure.
At least 50%, if not more, are retweets of great points or great thoughts or even things that I don't necessarily agree on a political spectrum, but I think create some great conversation. It's a great tool.
All right. Well, I love that. Now, if people are listening to the sound of your voice, they want to learn more about you, Kyle, or certainly learn more about your business, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
If I'm going to talk about social media, so I want them to go to my social media account. You can find me on Twitter at Kyle Hillman, KYLEHILLMAN. I do want to stress that I come from a liberal bent, so a lot of my tweets are from that standpoint, any kind of involvement is great, and if people can reach me there, I do respond to them, as long as you're not trying to sell me something, we can have that conversation.
All right. Well, Kyle, I didn't tell you at the beginning, at the outset, you are broadcasting into Ventura County. Ventura County is the home of the Ronald Reagan Presidential Library. So if people do contact you at Kyle Hillman, K-Y-L-E Hillman, on Twitter, then you might have a very interesting, perhaps argumentative point of view on the other end of the line. But thank you so much, Kyle, for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you so much.